It's about 13 minutes past 8. You're listening to Breakfast.
2SER Breakfast.
Time to have a bit of a chat with the Dictionary of Sydney. Nicole Karma joins me. A very good morning
to you. Good morning.
Now, this is, I don't know, is this Sydney's claim to fame? I mean, this is a bit of a shameful period, isn't it?
Well, at the time, I think it was certainly something that was a national embarrassment. And I'd say it's Clontarf's claim to fame, more specifically.
150 years.
150 years is a long time to get over. Since there was an attempt on Prince Alfred's life.
Absolutely
son
amazing.
Of Queen Victoria, Duke of Edinburgh, at Clontarf Beach.
Clontarf.
At a picnic.
Do they have like a sign up at Clontarf?
Well, you know what's funny? Leave it to the Australians to have a plaque mark the alleged spot. That I feel like I'm giving the ending away.
Sorry. I'll let you start at the beginning.
So 150 years ago, it was, to our embarrassment, was a pretty extraordinary scene at Clontarf. And the Prince Alfred, as I said, second son of Queen Victoria, he was on a world tour at the time and arrived in Sydney on the 21st of January 1868, quite a while.
Yes.
And it was on the 12th of March, so a couple of days ago, 150 years ago, a couple of days ago, he agreed to attend a picnic at Clontarf. And the event was actually a fundraiser for the Sydney Sailors Home, organised by the Sydney barrister and politician William Manning. And it was during the time, I think it was described in the newspapers as the Prince was walking across the area with Manning when two shots were fired at the Prince. And his would-be assassin was actually a mentally ill Irishman by the name of Henry James O'Farrell, who later claimed to be a member of the secret Irish Republican movement, more broadly known as the Fenians.
Wow.
Which actually he retracted after that. So he was clearly someone who was quite disturbed, and he was an alcoholic and he had all sorts of mental health issues. And so there were various, as you can imagine, the newspapers went wild with this story.
I was about to say, I mean, this is tabloid fodder now,
yes,
let alone then.
Yes, and that, you know, I'd tweeted before and 2SER retweeted an illustration of that, you know, you can imagine, illustrations going wild, you know, depicting drama at Clontarf. It was something that was reported quite widely, and they had various so-called eyewitnesses come forward and give their accounts. And one of the accounts that I thought was fascinating was published in the Empire newspaper, which detailed how despite there were cries that people said that the Prince is shot, the Duke is killed, that the crowd didn't actually immediately react. It's they just kind of sat there for a bit, enjoying the picnic, enjoying the beach. And this is a quote, "They could not believe that in such a scene of innocent gaiety and enjoyment, any human being could be so diabolically wicked as to commit so dreadful a crime."
They don't write them like
they used to.
No, they
really
don't.
So many descriptors there. But what I find really interesting in this article, it says, soon afterward, a scene of indescribable confusion and distress. I think they've described it very well. That's why it's so colourfully described.
This is so good.
Yet indescribable, apparently, unfolded as actually the Prince, he narrowly escaped the fatal shots. So it kind of, apparently it glanced off his ribs I don't know. And he inflicted only a slight wound. So it must have just kind of, I think it was towards his back and then glanced off the ribs. Somehow.
You know, I'd heard about this, but had not realised how close it actually came to being successful. To actually hit the Prince, to bounce off a bone.
And I think the second shot was deflected completely.
Wow.
So really quite extraordinary. So the Prince Alfred was actually nursed at Sydney Hospital by the Lady Superintendent Lucy Osborne, who we've spoken about before. And O'Farrell escaped the crowd's calls for a lynching, on the spot lynching.
Oh, Lord.
Only to be hanged later, tried and for attempted murder and hanged at Darlinghurst Jail on the 21st of April. So he did. There were calls for clemency at the time, considering his mental illness, but that was, I think, not really on the table.
Not really on the table. Not when you're talking about, look at that turnaround. What, 12th of March to the 21st
of April. Well, and when you think of at the time, trials were very quick, much quicker than they are today. You know, now they can go for a year.
Yeah,
they can go for
easily.
Months. But at the time, you know, 3 days was considered a long time for a trial.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
this can't have been good for the Irish community in Australia.
It really wasn't. And I think it had some real kind of ramifications, and it really kind of fueled that anti-Irish sentiment
yeah.
that probably kind of weaved into anti-Catholic anti-Irish Catholic sentiment as well. So real kind of sectarian tensions among the Irish community as well. And so citizens, it's almost kind of because of their embarrassment, opened up a subscription to pay for a new hospital. And of course, we know it today as the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital.
Wow.
So that's kind of a little backstory to that. And as I said today, I mean, it's leave it to the Australians to have a, to mark the spot with a plaque of our national embarrassment, because it really was quite a story at the time.
We would not have looked good on the world stage.
And it still is, I think, quite a story.
It is quite a story indeed. Nicole Carver, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I imagine Dictionary of Sydney has plenty on this.
Yep, dictionaryofsydney.org.
Fabulous. We will talk more of Sydney's great history this time next week. We're about 10 minutes away from 8:30 news headlines. Let's have some S. Carey. This is Yellowstone.